right. That was the Under Assistant West Coast Promotion Man by the Rolling Stones, which is very important for the guest who I have coming up and I've been talking about, who is John Scott, who is the author of Tom Petty and Me. Without John Scott, I don't know if we would hear Tom Petty would be in our soundtrack. And so he was the promotions lead for record labels and changed rock and roll history. And so and on this anniversary, two-year anniversary of Tom Petty's passing, I'm so pleased to have John Scott here on the air with us at the line 90.7 FM. John, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, hey sister, how you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much for coming on the air with us. This is such an important time.
Well, it's funny you play that song because when I was 16 years old, I heard that song on the radio and I said, you know, that sounds like a pretty good job working with a rock and roll band, an Under Assistant West Coast promo man. And it stuck in my head that I want to be one of these days. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
I became a promotion man.
Was that the goal? Because I know you started in radio, right?
I did start in radio. That was my first goal because my mom loved radio, and she encouraged me to be a DJ. And I decided at 10 years old I was going to be a DJ, and they bought me a tape recorder. And I just practiced like a, you know, I was probably terrible, but at the time I was 10. But, no, I just kept going. You know, every day just reading something out of a magazine or, you know, playing like up the top 40 jock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, because there were no FM stations at the time. But, yeah, I was going to be a DJ and I became a DJ at a station in Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown. And we were a pretty powerful station. We had 400,000 watts power.
Wow.
And we were pretty much a progressive radio station, and our goal was to break bands. So we would hear, anytime we'd get records in, we would listen to them immediately. If we thought they were great, we'd put them on the air and just play them to death. And bands like ZZ Top, believe it or not, David Bowie. I did the first interview in America when Ziggy Stardust came out. And, so our station was like, we could play what we wanted to play and say what we wanted to play, as in Last DJ, you know, by Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very lucky. And, that's what I strive to do is to play good records. And I could never play a bad one because my audience would call me out right away. And, so when we started playing a lot of new records, these promotion guys started coming around flying into Memphis because they knew we had a lot of power and covered the whole South. And I think we were the first rock station, FM station to play rock music in the South. So they started coming around, and I quickly found out that they made more money than a DJ, and they had an expense account. And I thought, well, shoot, man, this is I hate to leave radio, but somebody, they offered me a job. MCA Records offered me a job. And I'd been in radio there for about 4 or 5 years, and I jumped on it. But I hated to leave radio. As you know, it's just a fun thing. And radio people will tell you, well, I would actually do it for free, you know, but because it's that much fun. And so I became a promotion man.
Mm-hmm.
For MCA Records.
Yeah, and and that was an interesting journey. I mean, like because the forward or the intro was written by John Mellencamp, right? You know, and
yes.
I mean, when I read your book and read about all the things that you did, I thought, my gosh, the promotions man is a hero. You know, seriously.
Well, you know, Warren Zane said, who wrote Tom Petty's biography, said, you can have the best song in the world, you can be the best singer in the world, you can have the best band in the world, but if you don't have somebody behind you like a promotion man pushing you, you'll fail. And as you know, sometimes you'll listen to a record 30 seconds and take it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with Tom and his first album. But it's a little bit of a journey from MCA Records to ABC Records, where Tom was.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started because of John Mellencamp. because at the time I was traveling with my idols like Pete Townsend. Well, I was traveling with The Who and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Elton John, and I'm here. I'm a Southern boy from Memphis, and it's like a dream working on the back line of Universal Studios for MCA Records as head of album promotion. So I'm just in, you know, I'm in fantasy land because we were doing great, and you know, Freebird and everything, just everything was clicking.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they released this record by a kid named Johnny Cougar, and I liked three songs on the album. And I said, I'm going to get this record played. And his cover looked like he was a top 40 guy. And his name, Johnny Cougar, sounded like a top 40 guy at the time. So I would take it to FM radio stations, and people would look at it and go, oh, it's top 40. I'm not even listening to it. And I knew different. And they sent me to Seymour, Indiana to see him, and I flipped out because he was so good. And I called MCA and said, this guy's a superstar. Don't drop this guy. And they said, what have you been smoking? And I went, no, I'm serious. This kid's a superstar. So I went back to Los Angeles, and they were still non-believers, and I started doing anything I could. I rented a Cougar, live Cougar, from Universal Casting, take around to all the radio stations in Los Angeles just to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Johnny Cougar was in Seymour, so we just went to Tower Records with a live Cougar. We had to hire a handler, you know. And this Cougar had been in Tarzan movies, but everybody was, you know, scared to death they'd take a picture with me, but we did. And I just kept working that record. And finally, WMMS in Cleveland, one of the powerhouse FM stations, added the record. And so I came back home from Cleveland elated, and they told me to stop working Johnny Cougar. His manager, Tony DeFries, who was David Bowie's manager, and he was John's manager, and he said, well, WMMS in Cleveland just added the record. I want a billboard on Sunset Strip for my artist, Johnny Cougar.
Mm-hmm.
That was about $25,000. So they came in and said, stop working Johnny Cougar. And I said, I can't. And they said, yes, you can, because we're firing you. But you won't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taken aback because I was doing so good. And it turns out it was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. Because if I hadn't been fired by MCA Records at that particular time, I would have never met Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
My life is pretty much serendipitous. Things happen. I think things happen for a reason most of the time. Like, you know, things are meant to happen.
Yeah. Well, you were at ABC Records then, right?
I get a call from the head of ABC Records to be the head of national album promotion there. And I was excited because I was out of work and I just bought a house. And, I didn't want to go back to being a DJ, but I didn't want to, you know, not have a job. So he called me. I took it. I didn't even ask him the salary. And I took the job. And the first day at ABC Records, I had to hold my right hand up and swear to him that I would never do a Johnny Cougar stunt again. And actually, I had my fingers crossed behind my back because if I liked the record, I would go to a brick wall for a band. You know?
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then serendipitously, you were,
yep.
This record with no cover fell out, right?
Of my closet when I was getting my jacket, and I pulled the vinyl out, and there's nothing on it. And like you, a music person, I'm inquisitive, so I just sat down and put the needle on the turntable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to know who this band was, because it was just like, you know, it was killing me because I wanted to. So I sat down and heard a song I assumed was called Breakdown. And then I heard a song that I assumed, because it didn't tell me on the jacket, I assumed I heard a song called American Girl. And every hair on my body stood up, goosebumps all over my body. And you know what that means. You've heard something good.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it twice, once, second time in headphones. And if you've never listened to the first Tom Petty and Heartbreaker's album, the vocals are going back and forth, and Mike Campbell's guitar is left to right, or channel, and right to left. And anyway, so I ran to my boss. I said, who are these guys? And he looked at the label, and he said, he pulled the disc out and put it on the turntable. And he said, oh, that's that punk band, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And I stopped and went, what do you mean, punk band? This is one of the best rock and roll records I've heard in my life. He said, John. He pulls the album jacket down. Look at this guy. He's got a black leather jacket on, bullets around his neck. And radio stations have told us it's a punk band. And I you know, if anybody in their right mind listened to the first album and heard American Girl, you would know that's a rock and roll song.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, we're dropping him from the label. And I said, you can't do that. He said, here you go again. You're doing a Johnny Cougar thing. And I said, no, this is, just give me 6 weeks. That's all I want. And I'll stop. I swear to God, I will stop if nothing happens. And he said, no. And I really got on my knees, seriously, and begged. And I just begged him. I said, I know I can do this. And he said, okay, well, the clock's ticking right now. Good luck. And so I ran into my office and started calling a lot of my friends at SM Radio that I'd made throughout the years. And most all of them said, Tom Petty. And I've never heard of that record. And then some would say, oh, yeah, that's that punk band. No, we never played that record. And I was just dumbfounded because here I'm looking, hearing a record that's, you know, what I thought at the time was kind of a change of history of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And lucky enough, another serendipitous thing happened. A good friend of mine named Charlie Kendall, who was a program director, music director, stations like WNEW in New York and WNMS in Cleveland, and a real, real knowledgeable, respected guy in the industry. He came to work in Los Angeles to start a new rock station. And I immediately called him up. And, of course, my boss was walking by my office all the time looking at his clock going, tick-tock, tick-tock. And I went to my friend's house, Charlie Kendall, and he sat and listened to it on headphones, and he turned around to me and said, good God almighty, this is one of the best records I've heard in years. And so at that time, I was elated that somebody, you know, finally believed what I was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, are they any good live? And I went, Charlie, I just picked up the album completely by accident the other day. I don't know who they are. I mean, I did now. They're Tom Petty and Heartbreakers, but they're opening for Blondie at the Whiskey on Saturday night. Do you want to go? And he went, hell yeah. I want to go see this band. So, of course, I did too. Because for the last week, I had been playing nothing but Tom Petty in my car and my house and at work. Because it was like, you know, fresh, new rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is mid-70s, right?
Yeah, it's the deal. The album came out in 76, October 76, and I went to work at ABC in August of 77. So the record had actually been out for 8 months. And so Charlie and I, we said, I couldn't get anybody from ABC to go with me. They're like, well, that quit dropping the band. We don't care about that band. So just me and Charlie went to the Whiskey. And there's about 10 people inside the Whiskey. Nobody knew who Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were. And then, of course, when Blondie started later on coming in, people would, you know, start piling in. But at 7 o'clock, Tom Petty came out. And I'm praying to myself, don't be a punk band, please. And please be good. And you know, my reputation here is on the line. And so they came out. And I looked, well, first of all, I looked on the stage and I saw Vox amps. And right away I knew that the Beatles used box amps and the Birds used a box amp. And I went, well, that's a good sign. And it came out, and they all looked so cool. Tom had a scarf on and Stan Lynch was like, a Ringo Starr flipping his hair around, and Mike Campbell, oh my goodness, the guitar player. And they came out, and I think Tom put a Rickenbacker guitar on, you know, a Flying V guitar, and played O Carol, the Chuck Berry song. And I went, oh my God, they're good. And the next song they did was Breakdown. And Charlie leaned over to me during the middle of the song and said, John, I'm going to start playing this record on Monday morning, once an hour, every hour. This band is that good. And so that was, you know, music to my ears. And so they finished the set. There was no encore because there weren't enough people in the club to start applauding. I mean, they got some applause and not much, but they blew us away. And if you've ever seen a Tom Petty concert, you know what I'm talking about. They blow you away. And I told Charlie, I said, I got to meet this guy, Tom Petty. And so we were like two kids going upstairs at the whiskey to the dressing room. And we were all elated. And so I find this guy, Tom Petty. He's wiping off the sweat off his, you know, faces. And they put their hearts into that, even though they were the opening act, they put their hearts into every show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sweating out and said, hey, Tom, I just want to tell you, I love your music, and I'm John Scott, the new head of album promotion at MCA. And he said, I don't care who you are. I hate ABC Records. They've done nothing for us for 8 months. And I said, well, I really don't know the history here, but have you ever heard your record on the radio in Los Angeles? He went, no, why? I said, well, you're going to start hearing it Monday morning. And they were going to play it once an hour. And he went nuclear on me. Expletive, expletive. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of our dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned to the band. Hey, guys, this is the new head of album promotion, ABC Records. What do you think? And I all started laughing at me. And I didn't care because I had heard the record. And then I had seen the band.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew full well that this band was destined for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And something, as the road manager was going over to escort Charlie and I out, I turned to Tom and I said, Tom, my name is John Scott, and when you hear your record on the radio, don't you ever forget my name. And that that enraged him even more. Because at that point, I understood, because he had been misrepresented by ABC Records. They advertised him in punk magazines and teen magazines and, of course, radio. There was some radio play in San Francisco and San Jose and New York and just different cities in Boston, and it sold 12,000 copies. But, you know, not for a record that's been out that long and the record company put a lot of money into it. I understood why he was so angry. So he finally just... After he heard me say, I'm going to break your career wide open next, I said that. Roadie just let us out of the dressing room, and they all started laughing at us.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I didn't care.
Yeah. I guess, did I read that they were broke at the time also? And they were dejected from the whole journey of...
Yeah, well, they had gone to Europe. The manager was having so much trouble, you know, when the album came out, that he took them to London, thought that they would be a good fit in London. And actually, they started making some noise in London. But when they would get home, Tom would say, always tell me, we were nobodies. But nobody knows who we are. But in Europe, people were starting to know who we are. But Charlie started playing that record, like you said, on Monday morning. And then on Wednesday morning, the manager, Tony Dimitriadis, Tom's manager, called and said, who the hell are you? And I said, I'm John Scott, and I'm going to break your band's career. And he said, John, I don't know who you are, but you know you can't do this. they're dropping us on the label. And you can't resurrect an 8-month-old album. It's too late. And I said, I'm going to do it.
And you did.
He hung up, and the next day, Tom Petty, my assistant, comes running in and said, Tom Petty's on the phone, and I go on. I was so nervous, oh, God, it could be one way or the other, good or bad for me. And I said, hello, and he's got this southern drawl about him, gentle, but he's a gentle guy, and he said, John, my friends have been telling me, they've heard my record on the radio, like you said. Are you serious to what you're talking about? I said, Tom, I am dead serious. I'm going to break your career wide open. And he said, would you come over and meet me tonight? So I couldn't grab a piece of paper quick enough and wrote down his address. And went in to knock on his door and saw a Confederate flag. And, of course, Tom now, you know, we never really understood the Confederate flag when we were kids growing up in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And we went outside and smoked a peace pipe, as I called it. And just digressing just a little bit, when I was at MCA Records, one of the first records they gave me to listen to was these new songs that had were coming out. And one of them was by this band called Mudcrutch. And the song was Depot Street. And I liked that song. And I went to a station in Nashville, and they added the record. And it was like one of the first records I'd ever gotten added as a promotion band. And I called MCA in Los Angeles, and I said, hey, I've got my first record added, Mudcrutch, Depot Street. And they just started saying, John, it's a single. It's not an album. Mudcrutch is ridiculous. Don't work their records. Just go start working Olivia Newton-John's record. Forget about them. And I did. It didn't say on the record who anybody was. It just said Mudcrutch. So I'd forgotten about them. And when we were outside that night at Tom's house, very faithful night, I said, have you been in any other bands have you been in any other bands before? He said, oh, yeah, you've never heard of them. They're called Mudcrutch. And I went, you mean the song Depot Street?